Hello, this is Rabbi David Rosenbaum of Young Israel Shomrei Emunah in Silver Spring, Maryland. Thank you for joining us for our fifth installment in Halachos and Ideas of the Seder. It's quite evident when you think about the Seder that the Chachamim, the rabbis, set up a concept of different physical tools and reminders to keep us focused on certain themes throughout the Seder. Of course, one of the most classic themes is the idea of the Lechem Oni, the matzah that represents the poor man's bread in Mitzrayim. To emphasize that theme, we do yachatz, the breaking of the matzah, before we even get to Magid, before we begin to recount the Seder story, and long before we actually eat the matzah. So the idea is, before Magid, we break the matzah, we take the smaller piece of matzah, and we leave that with our Seder plate. And that small piece of matzah, quote-unquote, the smaller end of the stick, so to say, represents the experience of the Jews in Egypt. Interestingly, many of us have the practice of taking the larger portion of the matzah, wrapping it in some type of napkin or sack, and hiding it as the afikoman. That idea of wrapping the afikoman in a sack is brought down as being a reference to a famous phrase regarding the Jews when they left Egypt, that they had Tsuros Besim Lo Sam Al Shechmam. They had the sacks hanging over their shoulders of food. So that, even that image of putting the afikoman in the napkin or bag or whatever it is, evokes that concept. Just one more thing to think about when you talk about the yachatz, the splitting of the matzah. It's such a fascinating image that as we emphasize the Lechem Oni, as we emphasize the difficulty of the slavery in Egypt, off to the side, we have a larger matzah that represents the Korban Pesach, the mitzvah that will take the Jews out of Egypt, and the central mitzvah of all subsequent years when the Jewish people would remember the Exodus from Egypt and they'd have this special mitzvah of connection with God. It's a very significant theme in the Seder that even as we live the darkest moments of life, we always remind ourselves the geula, the redemption, can come in the next moment. It's a very powerful thing to think about. Okay, now we go on to the second cup. Again, we're not going to drink the second cup for a long time either, but before the Manishtana, we have the practice of pouring the second cup. The reason brought down in Halacha to pour the second cup when you're not going to drink it for a long time, we'll wait till the end of Magid to drink the second cup, is to do yet another thing to attract the children's attention. That's so strange. Why are you pouring a second cup? Normally we make Kiddush, we have Hamotzi, we eat the meal. We haven't even had Hamotzi, and you're already pouring a second cup. Now, just once we're on the topic of the second cup, there's an interesting distinction that comes up in Ashkenazi communities. We make a Bor Pri HaGafen on each of the four cups of wine. And my understanding is that in most Sephardi communities, the only cups of wine that receive a Bor Pri HaGafen are the first and third cups. The third cup follows benching, so you have to make a new Bor Pri HaGafen. The Sephardi practice, would seem to make much more sense. Normally, if you're drinking a number of cups of wine in one sitting, you would make one Bor Pri HaGafen. Why do the Ashkenazim make a separate Bor Pri HaGafen for each cup? There are two basic explanations brought down in Halacha. One explanation is we're not allowed to drink any wine between the first and second cups. And therefore, even though we made a Bor Pri HaGafen, even though we know we're going to drink a second cup of wine, the fact that there's this period that we're not allowed to drink any wine until we get to the second cup creates somewhat of a halachic barrier, and we have to make a new bracha before drinking the second cup. Another concept is that since each cup is a mitzvah to itself, we give each cup its own honor by giving each cup its own Bor Pri HaGafen. Once we're on the topic of the second cup, I realized there was one thing I didn't mention on the first cup. If a person does feel the need to mix water in with their wine, the maximum ratio would be 2/5 wine to 3/5 water. In other words, you would need at least 2/5 of the cup to be wine. If you're doing grape juice and water, a pretty standard ratio would be 1/3 grape juice to 2/3 water. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a wonderful day.